All right, so the reason I'm asking you to pray for me is I've had a hard week. I mean, I would come to church and do my thing and go home, and Deb and I had this commitment that we are going to get our house caught up. You ever have those kind of commitments? Yeah, we've been, I feel like the house is still new, and we've been there 18 years now. And so everything's falling apart, okay, after 18 years. And one of it was our backyard just needed to be redone. So I had some people come in and put a sprinkler system in, and then I laid sod, and so we put all the sod down. And when we got done, I found 7 leaks in the sprinkler system. Now, you who have done leaks, it's not fun, is it? Okay. So anyhow, I when I first saw the first one bubble up through the dirt, and we had to pull the sod back because I could feel. So I wouldn't have put the sod down if I needed to do all that. You know, I could have just dug it out and put new in or whatever. But anyhow, so we had to fold back the sod and dig it. And it was like, oh my gosh, on the first one, it was a nightmare. And I get done. And so we go through the 5 other leaks at that point. We get to the 6th leak. And Matt Suskovic was helping me, and we looked at it, and it was bubbling up through some rocks, you know, just flooding through. And we both looked at it and said, well, that won't take much. And we were ready to go after it, and I dug it up and patched it. And I look at that, and I think, okay, so the very first one, I felt so helpless. And then I get to the 6th one, and we're saying it doesn't take that much. And what happened to my world falling apart on the first one? Because it's going to take the same labor, right? It's going to take the same digging, the same patching. But it was easier on my head. And I thought about that, and I thought, it's so parallel to being a leader of a church. It's like my sprinkler system. When I first started out as a pastor of this church 24 years ago, all the problems were overwhelming. People would tell me the problems, and I'm going to be honest, it'd almost be like when they were talking to me, I'd want to put my hand up and just not listen to it because it just seemed so overwhelming. And you probably know when you've been in any kind of position like that. And I always felt like I was, people would go, well, do you know? And I feel like I was the wrong one, right? And I'd do everything I could not to be defensive, but it's like, well, wait a minute, I didn't create the problem. And, you know, I look back and I think, man, was I naive to become a pastor in those days? You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I want to serve God, right? And get in there, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is a whipping post, you know. And what a naive decision that was for me, even though I still think it's the right decision. I had no idea what it would take and what would even take away from my life as a pastor. To say that it's a breeze now, that's not true either, but it's a lot more durable, or I'm more durable to listen to those things and work on them. And so it reminds me of Romans 5:3-4, which says this: we are to be confident, knowing that problems produces patience, and patience, of course, produces character, and character ends up producing hope. Now, you've heard me preach before, and every time we get to the rapture or anything about going to heaven, I'm ready, right? I think I'm leading the pack in that too, because the hope is there from all that. And people on occasion will say to me, Steve, man, I wouldn't have your job for anything. Now, that really makes me feel good. You know, or they'll say, I don't know how you do it. And the only thing I can say is, well, I guess I'm just built for it. I got kind of a thick skin, and I'm built for it. But the truth is, I get used to it. I get used to the grumblings and realize they're going to come and we need to deal with it. The judgments come because somebody sits back and they judge and they have no idea what's really going on. This always kind of makes me laugh sometimes when somebody comes up and says, well, and I think, man, if you only knew. And, you know, being a pastor, there's a lot of things I can't say, so I'll try to answer their question without revealing what I really should say, because it's none of their business. And then they think, well, that's kind of an inadequate answer. And the criticisms, I really don't mind not hearing them. You can have all the criticisms of me or any of the other leaders you want, but so long as you don't tell me, it doesn't affect me, okay? Because here's the thing. Life does not go as we planned, right? Have you all come to that conclusion, or are you still working on the stupidity of thinking all life's going to turn out right, okay? Now, is this a complaint session for me to you? No. What's important to me for my survival is, first and foremost, God has to be the focus. It can't be anything else. It can't be you. It's got to be God first. And the second is your encouragement and your support. Now, many of you have stood with me when times get rough, and I deeply, deeply love you for that. And most of all, if not all of the leaders at Harvest, experience that same need to have God first in their life and to have encouragement and support from the rest of us, right? People, it's our job to encourage our leaders, to help them, especially the newer leaders, because when newer leaders are there, are they going to mess up? Well, of course they are. You always have to learn by experience. And rather than jumping up and critiquing them and sizing all their failures up, don't you think that it might be smarter for us, rather than to critique them, is to encourage them and help them? Because I guarantee they're going to hear the critiques, okay? We've come to the place of 1 Thessalonians where Paul begins to give his final instructions, and we're going to read about the first instruction, which is about leaders. And when I first saw it, I thought, oh man, I hate to talk on leaders because I'm the leader, and so I'm honking my own horn. But then I realized, wait a minute, we have a lot of leaders in this church. It's just really neat to see all the leaders. And so Paul's given these final instructions, the appropriate behaviors of the congregation from leaders on down. And so we're going to read our verses for this morning. I'm going to read the white, and you're going to read the yellow, and you're going to read hearty, right? Okay. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now I want to amplify that scripture a little bit for us. He says, and we urge, and this is an unusual word. Paul usually uses the word polykaleo, which means to counsel and encourage, but here it's an ask. It means to ask. And so we ask you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. And with that, the words imply difficulties and hard work. And are over you, or direct or lead you in the Lord, and admonish, they teach, they correct behavior or belief. And so he says, in you, the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly. We are to esteem all the leaders very highly, and it's going beyond what's expected, in love. Okay? It's very easy to do all this without love, isn't it? And so Paul adds that, in love for their work's sake. You may not like some of the personalities of the leaders. One of the nice things is if they don't like my personality, they just go away. Everybody else has to face the problem as leaders, you know. And so we are to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. Now, this section isn't just talking about me, but all the leaders that work here in Harvest Fellowship. And we have many leaders, like I've said, in the church who work hard. And, you know, what's interesting is when I see these leaders, very seldom do I see a lazy leader. I see people really trying to do their best and trying to meet needs and educate and that kind of thing. And, you know, the problem is these leaders in our church who labor hard are very vulnerable to criticism. And for you who criticize, it's a very easy thing, isn't it? It's like falling off a log, just so long as it doesn't come back on you, right? And it's hard on the leaders, and it's hard on the teachers, and that kind of thing, when we have judgments. We don't know what it really means to do that ministry unless we're in that ministry doing it. Do you understand that? And it's too easy for us to sit back and watch the leader like we're watching TV. Let me give you a good example of that in our society. And I think we're taught to be critical, okay? It's easier for us to critique, for instance, the President of the United States. Now, I know that's probably a new thought to you, okay? But when Bush was in there, did he get beat up? Oh, my gosh, he got ripped. What about Obama? Yeah. Now, he had one major thing in his life that helped him. He was a minority, so if you critiqued him, then you might be anti-minority, right? So I really think he got an easier ride from what we've seen throughout time. But then Donald Trump gets in, and the floodgates open. And some of it for good reason, okay, from some of the things he says. But we are so used to critiquing leaders, it's easy to bring that into the church and think, well, that's okay if I critique or judge. It's not okay. The Bible tells you not to do that. Does it not?
It does.
I want to go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2. I want to look at God's advice to you and I. Therefore, I exhort, I encourage, I counsel. That's the typical word that Paul uses, okay? Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, that means a request or a plea, prayers, that's talking with God. Intercessions means to be praying for someone on someone else's behalf. And giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, let's put president in there so we get it. In all who are in authority, who are in high rank, that we may lead or conduct a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence, dignity and respect. Now, I don't see marching in the streets in there. I don't see screaming and yelling and calling names in there. What does he say? We're supposed to give thanks for our president and the other people in governments around us. We are supposed to pray for them. You know, I feel a certain shame that we carry in the church in the way we act towards leaders, especially government leaders, because we think we know better than God. And let me just explain this. We foolishly think that prayer carries no weight. And you say, wait a minute, Steve, I think it carries weight. Oh, no, you would be praying for your leaders every day if you thought it carried weight. And we're all neglectful, aren't we? We're all neglectful at praying for Donald Trump right now. He's our president. We should be on our knees praying and intercessing for him to make the right decisions. We need to be unburdening ourselves on God with our concerns, not the leaders. You know, God's saying to us, pray for them. Pray for them. And, you know, the problem is when we hear that, we don't know how that works, right? We don't really have a good grasp of how that works. The Bible tells us over and over, pray, pray without ceasing, pray, pray, pray. And we think, well, yeah, I do that, but that's not going to really change things. I need to get in the street with a sign because that's going to change something, which it never does either. He says, pray, bring your requests to me. Bring your criticisms to me. You know, I look at it and I think of all the societies we've seen through time in the 6,000 years of history that we have. Can I be fair in saying we live in the best one? I mean, we have everything at our fingertips. When my sprinkler goes bad, I think that's inhumane and unjust, right? Man, it could be a whole lot worse. I mean, just look back in history a little bit. World War I, World War II, Korean War, the Vietnam War, Afghanistan, and then all of a sudden we have this kind of peacetime we're living in. And if that isn't worthy of thanks, I don't know what is. Thank you, God, for the time that we live in. Now, here's a thought. Many Christian experts say that if you are highly critical of the way a ministry is running, it's probably because it matches your gift and talents. Right? Otherwise, you wouldn't notice. And so maybe your job is to help jump in and solve the problem rather than sit back and critique. So I want to give you three thoughts this morning that I think will help us honor our leaders in the church as well as outside the church, our government leaders and all that type of thing. Okay? Number one is to respect them. Okay? And the scripture says respect them for their work. Verse 12 gives three identifying marks within that. That they work hard among God's people, that they are over God's people as protectors, and that they admonish, warn, and counsel, and instruct God's people. That's the job of a leader in the church. And some scholars even believe that recognizing and acknowledging the leader is what is best for respecting them. Let me read verse 12 again. And we urge you, brethren, we ask you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. So what would be the opposite of acknowledging them and honoring them? Well, we simply can ignore them. I don't think they're doing the job right, so I'm not going to even talk to them. That's kind of the same thing as critique, isn't it? Or we take them for granted. Oh, yeah, those guys just love doing that. You know, I probably one of the biggest places for me in ministry is people assume I love doing funerals, right? Or I love doing marriages and those kind of things. And people think that somehow I was born with this extra gene, and so are the leaders around with this extra gene to love all those kind of things. I love to counsel people who are fighting. Right? Oh, man. Are they fighting? Please show me the door. I want to go talk to them. It's just that extra gene, right? Listen to me here, and I want to be really clear on this. I believe we actually have a great spirit in church here. You do honor the leaders, and I feel like you compliment them and encourage them. So this is a really good time for us to look at what Paul's saying. Because we don't have to feel guilty, right? Listen, we all need to respect and love and be at peace. Because being respected and loved is a felt need. Most of us know about Dr. Emerson Eggerichs's book, Love and Respect, right? That was a very popular book, and is geared primarily for married people, but the dynamic of love and respect are valuable in other relationships. When there's a lack of either love or respect, it creates a vicious cycle. and it feels like rejection. We've seen it over and over when a leader feels rejected and gets defensive and angry, and we think, what's wrong with them? You know, this week I ran into a government official in our area, and I was going into Harbor Freight to buy more tools for my sprinkler system, you know, and I walked out and he drove up and he stopped and said, "Hi, Steve, how are you doing?" And I thought, how am I doing? He had retired with a lot of chit-chat and a lot of cloudiness in his history, and so he retired, and I said, no, I mean, I'm fine. How are you doing? And I said, how's the retirement going, and what are you thinking about? And so we chit-chatted. We're just right there in the middle of the street. People are piling up with their cars and honking. We're just talking away. And, you know, one of the great things is when we got done talking, I felt like he felt respected. Because that's our job, right? That's our job. So I congratulated him, and I gave him his due as a human being and as a leader. So as he drove away, I prayed for him. Of course, I was thinking about this passage, right? And I prayed for him, and I thought, God, help him. He's had a tough time in life. So if you want to get the most out of leaders, then speak the language of respect to them. Number two, love them wholeheartedly. Verse 13 says, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. The reason to love leaders, according to Paul, is because of the work. What kind of work do they do? The work Paul refers to and Peter refers to, and I want to give you some insights from both. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 and read that, and then I want to read Paul's. And Peter says this, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Serve as overseers, not by compulsion or obligation, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those who those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And then when we get to Paul, Paul talks about this in Acts. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. And then we go to Jesus. And I want to just quote one from Jesus in John chapter 10. And he said that a real shepherd is willing to give his life for the sheep. So how can we get the most out of our leaders? Respect them and love them. Encourage them. You know, let me just share before we close here. In my the first 12 years of this church, I didn't take a salary, okay? And people used to give us cards and encourage us and all those kind of things. And finally, I was having some heart issues because the church was just getting too big to work a full-time job and work the church, and I was hoping we could do that, but it wasn't working. And so we finally decided I need to go full-time. And when I went full-time, boom, I never heard anything from anybody for years in encouragement or cards or anything. And it was freaky to Debbie and I, because it was like this big faucet was open and it just shut off. Well, he's getting paid. He doesn't need to be encouraged. And that went on for a while. But you know what I love about the church right now? Is you guys are encouraging. And you guys do send cards. And you do things like that. And I see that other of the leaders, the same thing's happening. And you are doing right. you're doing right. Because they need that encouragement. And why should you love those leaders? Because they work hard on your behalf. They study. They put curriculum together. They do all these things for you and your family. I mean, when we were talking about the kids, boy, I'm telling you, you don't know what hard work it is unless you go over there and watch the curriculum and teaching the kids and try to get them through. And some of the kids are here 1 week and not other weeks. And so it makes it really hard to have a nice uniform process. And man, I love those people. I love the ground they walk on over there because of what they're doing in your kid's life. Number three. We get along with one another. If leaders are spending their energies breaking up squabblings and trying to resolve people's differences, working on the curriculum, directing people, they won't have enough time or energy to do what they're called to do and challenged to do by God, especially when they're working full time and they have a family and they're working in the church as well. Live at peace with one another, the scripture says. Did you hear that or did you miss that? Live at peace with one another. Unity is the important factor here. I want you to think about this. If we can't be at peace with one another, how in the world can we talk to someone else about having peace in their life? So I want to conclude the thought this morning. Respect your leaders, pray for your leaders, love your leaders, and encourage your leaders. Is that confusing? Respect, pray, love, encourage your leaders. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Father, we come this morning. Lord, we ask for forgiveness, starting with me and with all of us here, when we don't uphold our leaders or we don't encourage them and help them along the way. Lord, help us to be a church of encouragers, a church of respecters, a church of lovers. Out on our wall, Lord, we have love God and people. Lord, help us to love you and love people like we never have. Help us to be this place to be a safe haven for people to come in to be accepted and loved as they are. And then, Lord, help us to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Our heads are bowed. You may have come this morning and maybe you haven't ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you've been kind of looking for something. I want to talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard and that the wages of that sin is death. But it also says the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning and you would like to put your faith and trust in Christ, I'm going to pray a little prayer and you whisper it along with me. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said. And because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. And with heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, in a minute, will you raise your hand up and put it back down? Let me know. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning, we're going to pray for you. And we'd certainly love it if you come talk with us after the service is over. And this is a great time also to demonstrate to God you're making that decision once and for all in your life. Anybody else this morning? Father, we just thank you. that you're so gracious to us. May you be glorified this morning, and may your Son, Jesus Christ, our King, be glorified on the throne with you this morning. And may you, through the day, as the globe turns and Sunday after Sunday goes by in each time zone, Lord, may you be glorified and honored this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.